My family calls me Billy, which is my true given name. Billy is my true given name. And you're my church family too, so I don't mind if you call me Billy. So I would like to read from Luke 9, 57 through 62, the first passage I'm going to read. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, this was talking to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first I must go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first I must go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Father, I ask that your Spirit will be with me as I deliver your words of truth and your words of life. One of the things I liked about Pastor Ken was he always preached the gospel. And from our reading, in verse 58, Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Urgency. If you notice, my title of my sermon was Urgency of the Gospel. So I'm going to say urgency a lot through here. So bear with me. Jesus didn't have a house to stay in. He didn't have time to maintain a home. Those of you who own homes know what I mean by it. He didn't have time to maintain a home. In verse 60, Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Now, who can tell me what that means? Donna? That's pretty close, yeah. Now, Jesus doesn't have anything about family against family obligations, but there's a couple of other things going on here. The custom of the day was when a family had buried a family member, that a year later they would have to, maybe even up to 3 years later, they would have to go back to the tomb and gather the bones of that family member. And they'd put them in a box called an ossuary box. Ossi in Latin means bones, but that was a custom that they had back then. So the obligation that they had was 1 to 3 years. You know, they could wait up to 3 years before they would go and collect those bones. So, but there's an urgency there, an urgency. And the reason they did that was because the tomb could be used by somebody else then. I'm not sure they had a bunch of cemeteries around that they could do that. So, let the dead bury their own dead means that they had an obligation to stick around home for 1 to 3 years before. And Jesus' ministry was only 3 years long, so it could have been used up real quick. This kingdom of God is alive, not dead. In Mark chapter 5, we read about Jairus' daughter. And I just want to reveal what happened in the room where Jesus raised the little girl from the dead. Jesus took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately she rose up and walked around. And they were instructed not to reveal anything that happened in that room. This kingdom of God is alive, not dead. I don't know about you, but if I was Jairus, I would have to tell somebody, you know. But they were told not to, but I would have to tell somebody. So my next passage I'd like to read is Luke 9, 1 through 6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If the people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them." So they set out, went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So Jesus sent out the 12 from town to town, village to village, to preach the gospel in preparation for him to come later on to those towns and villages. So they were supposed to take nothing on their journey. So you get a sense of urgency as they go out, taking nothing with them. And I want to list those one by one. No staff. Now, I thought that was kind of an odd phrase, no staff. Because the image that comes to my mind is everybody who during that time always had a staff with them when they walked along. They could use it for protection. Or if it had a crook on the end of it, like a shepherd's staff, they could retrieve a sheep that got in a crevice or whatever. But no staff. So if you're walking with a staff, I don't have a staff with me, but if you're walking with a staff, you got to make an extra motion. You got to put the staff down. You got to step. Pick the staff up. You got to step. And you do that repeatedly, over and over as you're walking. So that takes some time. That takes time. Slows you down. urgency. No bread. You don't have time to stop as you're traveling along. You don't have time to stop because you might have to build a fire to cook something else along with your bread. You don't have time for that. It slows you down. No bag. You don't need to carry extra stuff that's going to weigh you down, because that's going to slow you down. There's an urgency there. They need to get to that town. No money. You don't have time to stop and shop. Urgency. No extra shirt. You don't have time to stop and do your laundry or have someone else do your laundry. Urgency. So they had to get from one town to the next. Now, so in my mind, I can see them with all this extra stuff they're not taking with them, that they're moving real fast or walking real fast or maybe even half running. They needed to get to the next village in a hurry. They had an urgency of preaching the kingdom of God and spreading the good news. The gospel means good news. Excuse me. Now, the gospel wasn't wholly fulfilled yet. We know by being on this side of the crucifixion what the whole gospel is about. Jesus coming to earth, leaving his glory behind, becoming a man, living among us, preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. And Jesus was nailed on the cross, suffered and died, buried in a tomb, and on the third day he rose again. This is what our faith is based on, especially the not being dead part. Now, the cross was just a mode of criminal execution. You stretched the arms across the cross, and they were nailed there. And then there was nails. They probably crossed their feet, drove a big spike through the feet on the upright post. And so the person was up there like this. And this was, execution on the cross is the cruelest of all. So what happens is a person gets tired and they droop down. Their hands has to stay like this. They droop down. And so that puts pressure on your lungs. So actually dying on a cross is a suffocation. So, you know, there's other modes of criminal execution, like lethal, for our time, like lethal injection or the electric chair. In the past, hanging and firing squads were modes of execution. But the cross was the cruelest one. Before Jesus was led out to the place of execution, the Roman soldiers severely beat him. They mocked him and they beat him to the point that he was not able to carry the cross out to the place of execution. Someone else had to carry it the remainder of the way. Thirsty water. Ooh. Thank you. How'd you know my mouth was dry? Thank you. Looking at Jesus' medical signs and symptoms. Some of you know I used to be an EMT, so I know about signs and symptoms a little bit. I was EMT for 25 years. You believe that? Whoa. We can guess that his condition was called cardiac tamponade. Cardiac tamponade is when blood is pooled up around your heart and your lungs. In that, they call it the pleural space around your heart and lungs. Makes it hard to breathe. So we know, because Jesus couldn't carry his cross all the way to the point of execution, that he was already suffering from hard to breathe. It's hard to breathe. Another way to speed up the death on the cross was, you know, if the soldiers were in a hurry to get this over, they would break the legs of the person. So when they went down like this, they couldn't get back, they couldn't lift themselves back up, and very quickly they would suffocate then by hanging like this. Very cruel. Possibly possibly the soldiers had broken their legs before. So they, when they come to Jesus, they looked at him and he's already dead. Well, they had to make sure, so they jabbed a spear into his side, and just clear liquid came out. And why did clear liquid come out? Because there's no blood there. All the blood was pooled up in here, and it was suffocating Jesus on the cross. Verify that it was really cardiac tamponade. They didn't have to break his legs, which is a prophecy, if you're interested in that thing. The Bible tells us that we all fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And sin can't be in the presence of God. So how are we justified? By the work that Jesus did on the cross. He took on our sins. He died for our sins. He took our place to pay for the sin debt. No amount of work from us can satisfy our sin debt. No amount of money from us can satisfy our sin debt. We can't work for it, pay for it, or steal it. It's a gift. A gift that Jesus gives freely to us. We just have to accept that gift. Now, I haven't studied world religions, so who can tell me what other world religions God came down to die and save his people?
Zero.
Zero. I don't know of any, and I really don't want to study world religions, to be honest with you. But I can hear my dad say, "Nary a one." Now, Southerners have some strange sayings. But the word nary is in the dictionary. It's N-A-R-Y. It means not one. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. One of my favorite superheroes is Superman. He has been called the most powerful man in the universe. Bullets bounce off of him. Fire and cold don't bother him. He's virtually unstoppable. One of our confessions, the Apostles' Creed, states Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The descended into hell part, we'll just leave that one up to the theologians. We won't go there. But we do know this. We do know that the work that Jesus did on the cross saved us from death and hell. He tore the bars away of death and hell. Now that's the most powerful person in the universe. What I don't understand is when the God of this universe chose to die on the cross for our sins, why wouldn't the whole fabric of the universe just unravel? I don't understand. God dying on the cross. Who's holding it together? We serve an amazing God. Now, I have great respect for missionaries who have the courage to go out into third world countries and preach the gospel. I know I don't have that courage. I admit that. I don't have that courage. But other people do. But we have a missionary job right here. It tells us in the Bible, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. It's right here. We know the gospel. We just need to tell people the gospel. We just need to tell it. I feel that there's an urgency for us to spread the gospel right where we are. If you're a farmer and your crop is ripe, it's time to harvest. You don't wait 2 weeks. You don't wait a month. You harvest now. There's an urgency. Urgency. Don't wait. Tell somebody. You don't need a master's degree in divinity to tell people what Jesus has done in your life. How he saved you from death and hell. You don't, just tell somebody. This gospel is alive, not dead. Jesus is right now reaching down with his nail-scarred hand and he's saying, "Get up, my child of mine. You're not dead. You're alive." Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. You came to this earth and lived among us and chose to die on the cross, the cruelest death of all. We thank you so much for that grace that you have, that amazing love that you have for us. All we need to do is just take it up. Believe. You are so good to us. We need to learn more about you, to love you more, and to serve you better. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.